So, welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have Ed Ariel, who is VP of Customer Service at Easy Cater. Hi, Ed. How are you doing?
Doing good.
Very well. So, first of all, Ed, welcome to the podcast kind of series. But for the benefit of our listeners and readers, can you tell us a little bit about you and a bit about the work that you do?
Sure. So I work at Easy Cater. I'll tell you just a quick little few words about Easy Cater. Easy Cater is the only nationwide marketplace for business catering. We feed locations all over the United States. It's a free service, which people like. Mm-hmm. And really, it's for feeding trainings, business meetings. A lot of companies that use food as a perk will order through us. Myself personally, I came to Easy Cater about 3 years ago. I have a pretty diverse background. I've worked in financial services, technology operations, a lot on the service operations side. And when I came to Easy Cater, it was a very small company. I think there was about 30 employees. Mm-hmm. And I was intrigued with the ability to use my experience, like all my experience, to come here and really grow the customer service operation side as well as grow the entire company.
Fantastic. Now, I mean, you just touched on something that we were talking about before, and this is kind of the real subject of what we wanted to talk about today, is because we were talking offline and you were telling me a lot more about how much you've grown sort of the team and how you've, in doing so, how you've set and preserved kind of your customer service standards. I mean, but first of all, can you tell us, like, when you talk about how fast you've grown, I mean, how fast have you grown in the short period of time that you've been there, just so we get a, if you like, quantum on the sort of challenge that you've gone through in the last couple of years?
Sure. So when I started here, the customer service department was about 10 or 11 people, and the company was about 30. Now customer service is about, we had 10 new people start today, so I think we're about 120 people now. And the company as a whole is 230 people.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, so it's grown dramatically. Our order volume over that time has grown 10 times. So
right.
Our philosophy is to, obviously grow the headcount both in customer service and company-wide at a slower rate so that we're more profitable.
Okay.
But to touch on the quality part, like we've been, from the beginning, our philosophy has been to be insanely helpful for our customers, to make the customers' lives easier.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we spend a tremendous amount of time hiring people. We probably, in the Boston area, to hire somebody, the estimated cost is about $8,000. We know we spend more than that, but it's important to us to find like those A-level, the right people that will understand our philosophy, incorporate that into how they work, and convey that to the customers.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you've gone from what, sort of 10 to over 100 employees in the space of what, just over two years? I mean,
3 years.
Three years.
About 3 years.
I mean, how is it all about the people? Is it by spending the right sort of time to hire the right sort of people? Is that how you've maintained the service standards, or is there some secret sauce that you're not telling me about?
the main, we do have some stuff that we do after the people are hired that's unique to Easy Cater, but the main difference between us and most of the other companies I've worked with or interacted with since I've been here is the people.
Right.
I know a lot of companies say we only hire the best of the best, or we only hire the top 10%, or we hire A players.
Mm-hmm.
Easy Cater lives by that motto, and not just for customer service, for every department.
Right.
So when we're interviewing people, we spend a lot of time, we want to make sure that they have a customer focus, but also that they've done something else in their lives, and it doesn't even have to be work-related, that they've been passionate about, that
mm-hmm.
they've been really, it's what makes them happy. And then we see, maybe they're, I don't know, it could be anything. Maybe they love surfing. So or travel. Travel's a big one. Everyone likes to travel, and people are like, my passion is travel. And we're like, well, what excites you about that? And then we see if we can get that kind of passion out of them at work.
Right.
And we do a lot of a screening. So for an entry-level customer service person here at EasyCater, you'll go through a pretty rigorous screening process, phone interviews. We screen out a lot of people in the phone process. People are confused sometimes that they're not moving along because they have, 5 years of telecom experience.
Right.
But most of the, so it's, once we find the people with the passion, then the other main thing we look for is the culture, right? That they're going to be a culture fit. The number one thing we hire for, and again, a lot of companies say this is culture, but everybody here, so all of the 200 plus people that are here are very friendly with each other. There's nobody that you couldn't walk up to and ask a question. There's nobody that I like to say you couldn't go to a Red Sox game with and spend 3 hours with and feel very comfortable and have a good time.
Right. And then when we were talking before, you mentioned as part of all that, you mentioned there was a phrase that you used which was called psychological safety. And that's how you use that in your hiring. I mean, that was intriguing. So I wonder if you could explain to me what that is and kind of how you use it.
Sure. So once we've identified people as candidates and they start, we've kind of taken this idea of psychological safety, and we've made it EasyCater's. We've adopted it and changed it around a little. But we start from day one. Well, let me tell you, the reason we started even trying psychological safety was because it would take 5 or 6 months for a customer service person to understand what we were trying to do, to understand the philosophy, to get the culture.
Right.
And it was too long, right? So we were trying to shorten the window. So what we came up with was this idea of psychological safety, where starting on day one, we're telling them our philosophies. We're telling them, everything has to be about making the customer's life easier. We throw them a lot of curveballs right off the bat.
Right.
So we say things like, if customers never talk to us, that might be the best thing, because that means the systems we put in place to make their life easier are all working perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
We explain that the way to be a successful ninja, which is what we call our customer service people, is to continuously be looking for operational improvement. So, we're very honest. We're like, hey, you can come in and be an A-level ninja and just do a great job, help the customers. But if you want to take advantage of the opportunities here at EasyCater for advancement, recognition, what we want you to do is look at what you're doing all day, every day. Is there something that could be done better? And then we go into the fact, some of the unusual stuff that we don't do any reviews. There's no annual reviews, semi-annual reviews.
Right.
What we do, we have a lot more open communication between the supervisors, the managers, and the staff. And then the question that always comes up, if we hire the right people, is, well, if I don't get a review, when do I get my raise?
Yes.
And that's when we explain to them, and you should see their faces on day one or two, that you can get a raise whenever you want. Whenever you feel like you've outperformed your salary, come to us and tell us why, and we will then either explain to you why you're a little off.
Right.
Or we'll say, you're close, here's some things you can work on, and we'll discuss it in 3 months. Or in some cases, we give people raises, and we've given people 2 or 3 raises a year if they are truly outperforming their salary. But the psychological safety aspect is we give all of them that day one, I give it to them,
mm-hmm.
and then we reinforce it through different means over the next 6 weeks. So we have a separate meeting with the supervisors in-house, and then the supervisors take them outside of the office for a fun event. And the whole purpose of these is to make them feel comfortable, reinforce the message. Myself and the director of customer service take them on we have a snack outing where we'll go to have food brought in from some of our catering partners and just have a 2 hour, how are things going, do you have any questions? And that's when they really start to come out of the closet about how am I evaluated, how do I ask for more money, how do I succeed, how long do I have to stay in my position.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the very end of the 6 weeks, you know, we keep reinforcing the message. Then I take them to a lunch usually. And that's when we, that's where we gauge the results. Like, we know that at the end of 6 weeks, say a year and a half ago, people still weren't 100% bought in, but now we can see that they already have ideas. They already are very open with their feedback about training. Hey, it would be, I think I would have got this better if he did this, where, which is what you have to do to be successful.
And the, all that kind of fits into your kind of standards, right? Because it's actually, you know, a lot of times when people think about kind of customer service standards, they kind of talk about, oh, we need to kind of answer the phone within three rings and so on and so forth. But actually, that's sort of not really how you look at standards. You're looking at standards in a different way. And that's what that what you were just talking about then is all part of it, right?
That's right. We don't use traditional KPIs for the call center. We don't look at average handle time, time on hold, you know, calls taken, emails taken. What we really focus on, 90% of it is quality. So we have a quality team of four people that is constantly listening to calls, reviewing emails, reviewing chats.
Yeah.
And the other part of it is the is, you know, the interactions, the feedback that you're giving us, how you're getting along with your team.
Yeah.
And we do have, I mean, we do have a very, very high level. Once a week we put out, we count like interactions. So, but we have an incredibly low standard on that. And that's really, we don't use that to evaluate them. We use that, we give that information to them. We share it with all 100 plus ninjas to kind of, so they can see how they're doing against their fellow ninjas. But when it comes to evaluating people for promotions, raises, things like that, what we're looking at really is the quality score and their ability to identify possibilities for improvements in the department.
Okay.
Or in the company. The company, a lot of the ninjas will look at things outside of the department and make recommendations.
Okay.
And we have such a good culture that the other departments don't look at it as like you're stepping on my toes. They look at it as, well, you're the one talking to the customers, so let's see if this is something we get to work.
Okay. And are you all the all your ninjas, are they all in the one place?
They are not. So we have our headquarters is here in Boston. So we probably have about half of our ninjas here right now. And then we use outsourced centers, but just like everything else with EasyCater, it's an unusual relationship with the outsourced centers. So we have ninjas in three outsource centers. We work very closely when we bring on an outsourcer because we're looking for like the A-level employees again.
Yeah.
We're very, very involved in the interview process, you know, and one of the criteria we look for when we hire an outsourcer is somebody that's comfortable with our level of involvement.
Yes.
Because, you know, we have a high rate of people that don't make it through our process. Hiring process here in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we bring on a new outsourcer, the rate is even higher there, and it frustrates some of them, but it's sort of like the psychological safety of a new partner. They have to understand what we're trying to do, and it takes them a little while, but we have the same quality standards, the same stats. When I said we send out the stats once a week, we send that to the outsource partners too. Everybody can see what everybody's doing, and our QA team works with their QA team, and we make sure that we're staying to the same criteria, and then we evaluate all four groups against each other on a weekly, on a monthly basis. So
okay. So just for clarity, I mean, so can you just explain simply when you talk about your customer service standards? We know that when there's a handful of elements in there. Can you just kind of list them out for me in terms of kind of what are the different elements, just to actually highlight how different your approach is to many others?
Sure. So, you know, we have the standards that most people have. You know, are you greeting we have no scripts. So
Right. Are
you saying a greeting, you know, that has the company name and your name in it, offering assistance?
Yeah.
We also have the closing, you know, thank you. Is there anything else I can help you with? Recapping. But those are very small portions of it.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of it is, you know, documenting what happened on the account.
Yeah.
And did you resolve the customer's issue? So, and that's the meat of it, because it, did you resolve it in a way that made the customer's life easier, made the customer save them time?
Yeah.
And that's the vast majority of it. So I'll give you a very quick example. You know, if a customer calls in and says, you know, I have a vegetarian, I forgot to put a vegetarian on there. Instead of putting the customer on hold, calling the caterer says, yeah, we have three vegetarian dishes, going back to the customer, which one of these three do you want? We try to cut out the middleman altogether. We have a very close relationship with our catering partners. We, right off the bat, will know for the majority of them, like, what options they have, like, how specific, you know, some people are like, I'm a vegetarian, but I'll eat chicken, I'll eat fish. And so if we can do that, that's great. So we could say, hey, we know this caterer, these are their options, which one would you like? It's all set. We'll email you if an issue. If not, you'll get a confirmation. Or if we don't know the caterer they pick, maybe it's a new caterer, we'll give the customer some options. Like, you want me to put you on hold? I'll take care of this. This is kind of what I'm thinking. But what we don't want is like the back and forth with the customer two or three times. Well, talk to the caterer, talk to the customer. So in some call centers I've worked in before, that's fine. At the end of the call, it's resolved either way. The way we want to do it is anticipating the customer's needs, saving them time, and you know, making their life easier.
Right. Okay. And the other thing you were talking about before is that, you know, which I think is interesting and something I've been exploring with different sort of people in the last sort of few months and things, is you were talking a lot about how you spend a lot of time hiring the right people, finding the right people, and bringing them into your kind of culture. And then you also talk about this idea of continuous improvement and empowerment and doing the right thing and making focusing on making the customer's life easier. So you talk about empowerment, and many other companies do as well. But the thing I've been finding is that whilst there's a lot of companies that talk about empowerment, many of them don't achieve it because many of the people don't know what it is to be empowered. So I guess my question to you guys would be is, how do you get people comfortable with that idea of what it is to be empowered? I mean, because it seems to me it's almost a bit like you can't just throw open the doors and go, do what you want. Because sometimes people have got to figure out where the kind of the guidelines are, or where the edges are, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. So the empowerment is one of the main pieces of feedback we get at the end of training is, you know, these people may have had multiple other jobs at the outsource centers in here, and every company says you're empowered to make decisions, make the customer's life better, don't argue over the nickel, things like that.
Yeah.
And but by the time they get through their training, they realize that, you know, we really mean it.
Yes.
And I can tell you, it goes through. So they spend about 3 weeks in the classroom, and then for the rest of the 3 weeks of training, they're sitting in some breakout rooms we have here, and they're either listening to someone take a call, listening to one of the people they're trained with take a call, or they're taking calls and someone's listening to them, and we're reinforcing the idea over and over again. And so how much can they give away is a common question. So if there's an issue with an order, again, in a typical call center, it might be call the caterer, see what happened, have the caterer offer something. What we try to do is the customer called us and said there was an issue, it was an hour late. We figure out what will make that customer happy. We give that to the customer. The customer is done.
Yeah.
Right? The customer is out of it. And then we work with the caterer and figure out you know, what the caterer can give. And what we want is we want good partners from the customer and the caterer. And most of the time, we're giving the caterers such substantial volume. They'll work with us on these. Sometimes we do lose a little money, but we're making the customer happy, right? So, but the empowerment is we have many stories of brand new ninjas that made a decision on an account. So when they come out of training, they're given, they can credit any amount. They can do a whole order. They can do a future order. We give them empowerment to do everything. They just need to justify it. We have stories of ninjas that made mistakes, you know, that would cost the company, say, $600 roughly.
Right.
And that new ninja was very confident they were going to lose their job.
Right.
And we didn't. we explained what had happened in the issue, how she was going over the top being insanely helpful. In this case, I'm talking about the customer actually took a little bit of advantage of her.
Right.
And then the customer was like, I want a free order. And she gave it, we ended up giving it to her. The fact that we didn't fire the ninja, and we just explained to it, like, that ninja's now been promoted a couple of times. And not only that, but the other ninjas that heard the story are like, oh my God, they are serious. You know, they do empower us. And if we make a mistake, as long as we don't make the same mistake repeatedly, it's not an issue. And with regards to, like, the adjustments, like, this is, again, a philosophy of ours is, right, so we, our QA team looks at the amounts that are adjusted, but we're not looking at every order. So as a company, our philosophy is, how much is being adjusted across the board, right?
Yeah.
So compared to our total bookings, what are we adjusting? And we watch that fluctuation. We don't watch each individual ninja or each supervisor team, because 1 month could be higher just randomly. But if the percentage overall of bookings stays the same, which is well below the industry average for a service organization, we don't see the value in building reports, processes, procedures for getting into the minutiae when the overall philosophy is in place.
Okay. And so this all sounds kind of great. I mean, within you and your in head office and your outsource kind of partners and things, but like, you guys work across a massive kind of value chain. I mean, how do you maintain, I mean, so you've got high quality there, but how can you kind of maintain the high quality across the kind of the value chain? Because you're not really responsible for all of it, are you?
No, I mean, technically we're not responsible for, you know, the quality of the food or the timeliness of it being delivered or the interactions the delivery person has with the customer, for example. But what we do is every time a customer places an order, so there's Easycater has a rewards program. So again,
right,
the service is free, but we also give them rewards on top of that for using our service.
Mm-hmm.
One of the very small rewards that our customers love is we give them 100 points, which is equivalent to $1.
Yeah.
For evaluating each order.
Okay.
So every order they get, and they can evaluate it right away, they can do it when they do their next order, but almost a vast majority of them do the reviews. And then we use those reviews to rank the caterers on the website. So if you have all great reviews, you move up the website, and you know, the people at the top of the search rankings get the most orders. If you have negative reviews, you move down, or if you're late, even if you have no reviews and you're late, it will move you down the website. Customers want their orders accepted quickly, so they know they don't have to worry about it. So if you accept orders quickly, you move up the website. If you accept them slowly, you move down. So in theory, what we tell people is, all the partners on there are good partners of ours. You know, if you're not a good partner, we will take you down. We'll take you off the website. But they're all good partners. But the ones at the top are, you know, the most reliable,
right,
on time, you know, at least in all the performance issues. So we use that.
Okay.
And we have another department that works for me outside of customer service that does service for the catering partners. And we work very closely with them to explain, like, what's going to help their score, how to get them more orders, and basically, a lot of the services we offer there are, again, free. Accept your orders quicker, make sure they're on time, you'll move up in the rankings, you'll get more orders.
Okay. That's kind of brilliant. I mean, so I have a couple of questions that I wanted to ask. Is like, what? One, why ninjas? I mean, apart from the obvious, because I think everybody in the wildest dreams would want to be called a ninja at some point in their life. But why? Why ninjas?
Yeah, the ninja name was actually created before I started here by the woman that ran customer service before me, who's still in the company. And her thinking was, again, like, working behind the scenes, stealthy, so that the customers aren't seeing it, but it's taking care of issues for them. Very efficient, nimble,
right,
will really do anything.
Okay. No, I like it. I mean, I'm pretty sure that your people probably kind of wear that badge, kind of like, or that name with some pride, actually. It's like, who wouldn't want to be called a ninja? But also the other thing I wanted to say was that you talked about the member of your team that gave away, or actually gave somebody a free order worth about $600. I mean, do you have a couple of other sort of stories of things that that some of your team have done when they've gone kind of above and beyond? Because I guess that's the product of the culture, the hiring and the culture that you've that you've created, kind of here. I mean, it's, and that's kind of what it means for the customer.
Yeah, so the issues with catering, so if people have ordered catering for their office,
yeah.
There's two big things that take the most amount of time. You know, there's always a percentage of orders you call up, you know, yourself to the caterer, the food shows up. But if you have to, if you forgot or there's a last minute order and you try to call a caterer, a lot of them have cutoffs or you know, they can't make the food. So we've become like a resource for a lot of these companies that they've used us enough. They know that if they call us, even if it's 2 hours before,
yes,
you know, we'll find something for you, because I mean, we have such a good relationship with the caterers. The caterers want us to keep sending them orders. And again, so imagine you're making a catering order and you're like, oh my God, I'm gonna have to call five people. And hopefully one of them can do something. I don't want to order pizza.
Yeah.
And we end up giving you, you know, Thai food that everybody in the office loves. And what our philosophy is, like, we're, you know, the people that are doing the ordering, their office loves them, right? So we have an award, like Office Hero,
right,
that for our orders. And that's if you read our reviews on Trustpilot, there's a lot of reviews that say that, like, you've saved my reputation in the office. This is a last minute order. I forgot an order. And we also have a number of power users that use us almost exclusively, and because we have a little breakout group of ninjas, we call them white glove ninjas, so super ninjas, that customers have. It's not even a product that we offer on our website, but we just started doing this for customers, where they will just send in at the beginning of the week, you know, here's 50 orders for the week, because they're traveling around or they have teams that are traveling around, and we will enter all of their orders for them. And we've gotten to know those customers so well that we'll even say, you know, wait a second, wasn't there a person in Kentucky who had an allergy to avocados? And they'll be like, yep, you're right, the avocado one. And the reason the salespeople, these are mostly traveling salespeople, pharma reps, things like that, we surveyed them years ago, and using our service, they told us that they actually close on average five more orders a month because of the time saving. So they're making a lot more calls. They're closing five more because they're not handling the food, ordering of the food.
Right. Wow. Okay. So, Ed, here's a question for you. If I was to say to you, so somebody's listening in and thinking, wow, you've gone from, you know, a staff of just over sort of 10 to over 100 in the space of kind of 3 years, which is some phenomenal growth. And you've done it by actually not fast hiring, but actually hiring right and taking your time and building, you know, getting the right people and building the right sort of culture, so you can deliver that sort of outstanding sort of service, and your, you know, your Trustpilot scores and everything else, and your growth sort of is testimony to that. But if there's somebody's listening to this and thinking, yeah, I want to do that, I want to replicate that myself, I mean, what advice would you give them? Where should they start? What should they do first, based on kind of what you've learned over the last kind of few years?
Right. So I've had this conversation with a number of people in the industry as I've traveled around and talked about Easy Cater. You know, it sounds simplistic, but, you know, they have to, you know, I've worked with companies that have, you know, not as great a culture, to say, to put it kindly, that that treat customer service as sort of like a necessary cost center evil.
Yeah.
And the main thing I tell them is, you know, you have to start hiring. Well, it's important to get buy-in from your leadership team. We all know that they acknowledge customer service is critical. But even if you don't have that, if your leadership is, you know, not from the service side, you can still hire the right people, instill that philosophy in your group, right? And you know, what I tell them is, like, we spend a tremendous amount of time. We spend more than the average time hiring. We spend more than the average time training. We pay just slightly above the market, but not substantially above. And one of the key things is, so if you do that, you also need to, and this sounds a little rough, but we do it here, is you have to kind of, you know, when you say you only hire A players, you should only hire A players. And if somebody is hired as an A and becomes a B, you have to spend the time either getting them back up to an A or getting rid of them.
Right.
And I can't tell you the number of companies I've talked to that have been around longer than EasyCater. When you say, what do you do with the people that, you know, kind of lose enthusiasm, and they hide them. They keep them in the group. They give them stuff that doesn't impact the customer. My philosophy on that, or my recommendation to them, is always to, ideally you're going to get that person back up. Mm-hmm. But if you can't, you're doing a disservice to all the other A players that you hired and to your company by keeping that person there. And I think that's really the difference here. So we want to hire all A players. We want them all to be very successful. Again, with another baseball analogy. So our hiring philosophy is, we don't swing for singles all day, even though you probably have a higher average, because then you're just going to end up with a bunch of an average team after a few years.
Mm-hmm.
We swing for home runs. We look for the best hitters. Now, you might strike out more often, but if you do the right thing and realize your mistake and move on, then you're going to end up with a much better team.
Fantastic. And so I'm just conscious of time, Ed, and just want to ask you quickly, before I ask you my last couple of questions I always ask, is there anything that you think that we've missed out, we haven't covered, that's kind of relevant or salient to this, the conversation around how you build such a high performing sort of team, and this kind of culture? I mean, is there any kind of lessons that you've learned that you'd like to share with us that we haven't really kind of covered?
One thing we didn't touch on was how we retain our employees.
Okay.
So when we find our best employees here at EasyCater, we're very lucky. We're growing rapidly. So there's naturally opportunities for advancement, but even when you hire all A-level players, not everybody can move up. So
sure.
We spend a lot of time. Like, we have a supervisor, one of the supervisors, that it's primarily their focus is, how do we retain, how do we keep the ninjas interested? And we do things like, so we have a monthly contest. And some of it is acceptance rate,
right,
which isn't that fun.
Mm-hmm.
But the next month we'll do something like, on what day will we have the most orders this month? And it's just a fun guessing game. It gets them looking at the metrics that we track on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
It gets them all, interacting with each other. So we do something that's fun, that has like a bigger business goal. And it doesn't always have to be like a ninja focus. Sometimes we say, what day will our sales team sell the most?
Right.
So they go into the sales metrics and kind of see where those are. We also do the supervisor arranges like quarterly outings, very inclusive. So we actually like send it out to the ninjas and we say, what do you want to do? And whatever wins, we do. And you'd be surprised the amount of people that will show up on a Saturday.
Right.
And to bowl. But they enjoy each other's company. And when we do something here in Boston, we also do it for the outsourcers. So, the easiest example is, so it seems like every December a Star Wars movie comes out. So one day the Boston Ninjas will go see the movie, the next day the El Paso Ninjas will go, the next day the Vegas Ninjas will go, and they'll all get to see the movie, and we'll buy them popcorn and they get to spend time together outside the office.
Cool. That's great. I mean, it's one of the biggest challenges within services. How do you keep people? Because once you get good people, they are valuable. So, Ed, so that brings me to my last couple of questions, the first one is a bit of a selfish one, that it's my own piece of market research, if you like, because it's based on the idea that I wrote a book last year called How to Wow, and what I've been doing ever since then, at the end of these interviews, is asking people for their own perspective on what wow service or wow experience means to them. So I'd be really interested to get your take on that.
Sure. So our belief at EasyCater is that the customers, not that they don't want to be wowed, what they want is they want to spend as little time possible on this function. So what we found is they're most impressed and find our service most valuable when when the order goes straight through with very little customer interaction. So what we kind of say is, you know, we have great technology that's run by helpful people, insanely helpful people. So if the technology is working, that's when the customer is the happiest, when there's some sort of interaction. So the customer changes their order or a last minute order or something like that. That's when we want to be offered a wow service. But even then, we believe in developing like a 5-second relationship with the customer, but we don't think the customer wants us to be spending, you know, turn a 5-minute call into a 6-minute call even just because we're trying to wow them. Again,
sure.
The ultimate goal is to be as efficient as possible, save them the time, you know, make them the office hero kind of thing.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. And that brings me to my final question that I always ask at the end of these interviews. And the question is this, Ed. Is there anything that you would like to shamelessly plug?
Sure. I'd like to shamelessly plug EasyCater. For anybody that's listening, you know, if you're ordering food for trainings, meetings, as a perk to the people in your office, you should try EasyCater. People who try it love it. They're amazed by how easy it is, how much time it saves them, and it makes everybody's lives easier and better.
And that's ezcater.com, is that right?
Yep, easy, letter E, letter Z, cater.com. Yep.
Fantastic. Ed, I just wanted to say, first of all, congratulations on the success and sort of building such a fabulous team, which is driving a lot of EasyCater's kind of growth and you know, then all the Trustpilot scores and so on and so forth, probably having quite a lot of fun along the way. But just finally just wanted to say thank you for sharing your time and insight and your story with us today. That's been great.
It's been great. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and your listeners.